Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service, developing the Donegal workforce across engineering, manufacturing, retail, services, technology and the agricultural sectors.
Hi, I'm Kieran O'Donnell. Welcome to Business Matters. Later in the podcast, I'll be talking to the recently elected director of Donegal Business Network, Clive Wasson. John McNulty is the owner of the Mace Store in Stranorlar and owner of the Shan Austin Guesthouse in Carrick. John, who is manager of the Kilcare Senior Footballers, has been self-employed in the retail sector since 2000, having previously worked for 2 years in the insurance industry after studying business at Letterkenny IT.
It's 21 years in total, Kieran, probably be 14 in the Twin Towns, but 21 in business since I had my first store. So it's probably a long time in the retail game, all right. It's something that I got into after college. I went to Letterkenny to the IT and I done business, and I actually worked in Rainey Gibson Insurance Company, and they had opened Top Coat Direct as well at the time. So I was with them for two and a half years, and at the time then I was always looking for something maybe for myself to do, and they came and add up, and it was actually from a local shop in Kilcare. And geez, I applied for it. It was up for lease, and I took it. Went for the interview with him. It was actually Michael Carr that used to play for the county, actually his store. And one thing led to another, and I ended up taking it over. And that was in December 2000. And I was there probably for the 7 years or so. And that time, then I'd taken over the store in Stranorlar.
Big step to take over your own store.
Yeah. Big step, probably, when you look back on it. At the time, I never thought like that. I just thought, I just want to do this, and I want to get at it myself. And I guess that comes with when you're young and you're enthusiastic, and you look at things, and you're looking probably like everything to make money, and you want to grow your business, and you want to see what you can do, and you're full of energy, and you're really going. That's what I would have brought to that business at the time, and you needed that for, because it was a small store in Kilcare. So but it was nice. I moved back home then as well, and it was a good time.
A difference, I'm sure, from having a store in your hometown to as opposed to having one here. It's an extremely busy junction. I was just thinking, it must be one of the busiest junctions in the county, John, where you're at Macleay's Corner here.
It's a very busy junction when things are normal, definitely, because it's the main thoroughfare from Sligo to Derry, Letterkenny. So, and right up, you know, if you're going to Malinhead, you have to go through it. So from that point of view, it is a very busy junction that time. And that can have its benefits, but it also has the opposite too, because, you know, sometimes you have traffic congestion at peak times. But definitely, in terms of running the store, it's completely different, because the shop was a local shop, and it probably was it was different from here. I have a forecourt, I have a deli, it's a convenience store, so you nearly have three stores types in one. I mean, there's a wide range of variety of what you sell. So from that point of view, you might have just the shop part, which you'd have been used to, but I'd also had to learn about the deli, hot food, cold deli, and obviously the forecourt's a big operation in terms of petrol and diesel, and your petrol pumps, and making sure everything's right on that. And so there's a lot of work in it. There is, yeah.
What is the one change, or are there a number of changes that you've noticed over the years, John, in those 21 years since running shop?
Yeah, I think one of the big things you would see is your paperwork. Your definitely is tightened that way, in terms of you have to have everything right now. Not that you didn't have at the time, but even the simple thing of changing a wine license name over from, if it was, say, in your name, it was an easy transfer. Now it's a whole rigmarole to get in your tax clearance certificates, everything. It's gone full circle nearly on a lot of that stuff, and it makes it very difficult. It's like that again on the forecourt. Changing the license maybe was a lot easier maybe 14 years ago as it is today. There's a lot of work involved with it, and I can see the reason for it. And when you get there and you get it done, it's straightforward afterwards. But there's a lot of rigmarole in doing those things now, where before there wouldn't be. Plus, I guess obviously your wages, and that is another big one that would have probably, I mean, it probably doubled at the stage in terms of where it would have been when I would have started. And your cost overheads are probably a big one, your electricity and your rates and that as well. And they always seem to be going up. So
we'll talk about your guest house shortly. How has COVID affected the shop, John, and the way that the business is run at the moment?
Well, the first first time in March last year when it did come in, it did had a huge effect because obviously people were told to stay at home. So all of a sudden, I suppose there was a serious fear as well, and people were staying home. You lost 70-75% of your business on your forecourt through nobody travelling, and then the knock-on effect of that is probably your tea and coffee and your deli and your schools were closed as well, so you get a certain school trade here as well, and you'd lost all that, and just all of a sudden. So it was a huge impact on a forecourt business.
I see the convenience, the whole nature of convenience is changing and evolving all the time. I noticed the sign outside for outside catering. Obviously, you're always looking to get new lines and develop new business, John, as well.
Yeah, that's the big thing, Kieran, with convenience. It's always changing and you have to try and always change with it. Obviously, maybe, you know, 15, 20 years ago, your Aldi and Lidl's weren't as they are today, you know, where they're in every big town and that, and you have a lot of competition. So from that end of view, you're probably looking to see, can you steer away from that and can you find a market that yourself that you would, that'll work for you? So I would always be looking at, say, to find things like that would people obviously want to buy and something that you could get and be able to sell at a competitive price, maybe on a different market rather than competing with the main stores.
We had a talk there before we started the interview at the Costa coffee machine. Obviously, coffee on the go and tea on the go is a big part of your business.
It's a big part of business now, yeah. If you didn't have a coffee and tea machine now, there'd be a lot of people giving out because it's expected now in a forecourt, and then there's a certain standard. The coffee market would be one big thing I would see a big change in. It really has grown and people wanting coffee and certain types of coffee. I remember when I started, they used to be the Kenko capsules, and you just put them in and it came out and that was it. So yeah, if you had that today, there wouldn't be one person would buy it, and it just shows you where the way things change and people's taste for it and all the different flavours of the coffee. You know, your cappuccino, you have your Americano, you have your latte, and then there are always different flavours being added in. I think at Christmas there we'd have one there where there's a Quality Street flavour one, and things like that. Again, it entices people in and people like it, and again it's the convenience, and a lot of it too maybe is actually the cup itself. You know, it's an attractive, the Costa coffee is an attractive cup and people like to hold it, and there's kind of a marketing in that in itself.
The Twin Towns is a busy place. Finn Valley is around the corner. We've got McCool Park, Finn Park, a number of schools and colleges, and obviously McElhaney's a very well known and established business. How impacting and what has the effect been on over the last 11 months on the area itself, John?
I think it's the same probably all over the country. It has had that impact of, you know, like you had a lot of your retail closed for a large part of the year. So a lot of people, and they weren't travelling. And when people are not travelling and they're not moving like that, then it's very difficult. You can't sell anything, you know, no matter maybe how good your offer is. If people can't travel to you to get to you, unless you're online, which is becoming a big factor as well nowadays, but they can't come to you. So you find that there is an impact on you, on your business, especially this type of a business, which really is people driven, where people are always coming in and out, and you know there's convenience of that, where other types of business maybe they can get by on online maybe a lot better. Ours is quick convenience and it's something you're looking for on the go, so from that end it's probably definitely would have a big impact on forecourts.
I'm sure you've built up a very loyal customer base over the years.
Oh yeah, you would see a lot of people every day, you know, and you have the chat and have the crack with them, and there's plenty of banter in that in terms of football or whatever it is they're talking about, whether it's the weather, whether it's the COVID or whatever it is. Yeah, definitely would. And some very, very nice people.
I was just, when I was pulling in there, John, I know there's been an issue about people coming in and using the forecourt to sort of skip the junction. How frustrating is that for you?
I laugh at it, and it's not funny because it's been a problem there all the time, and there's time surely is very frustrating, and it's just sometimes it's the danger of it more than anything else, that if a person comes in there at speed, and they're coming in at speed because they're probably trying to get out the other side as quick as they can, so while their intention is to skip the queue and get out, it's if somebody's walking on that forecourt or somebody they don't see, and then all of a sudden it's a bang and and that's where the trouble would start. So there is times, yeah, it's frustrating, and there's not an awful lot I can do with it.
It has been discussed, I think, at council level over the number of years as well. How long were the Laois there, and had the Laois helped John?
Well, one thing that I felt about the Laois, first of all, when they came in, nobody knew how it was going to go, and there was always, in business, you're always apprehensive of change sometimes that can affect your business. I think the one thing that I was always saying, it was going to guarantee you, when you're in the queue of traffic, of a time that you were going to get away, where before you weren't guaranteed that, and that maybe would have led to maybe more frustration to try and skip the queue and skip the forecourt. But I think I'd be for the Laois because of that reason, that at least no matter what side of the traffic light you're on, there's going to come a time where you know you're going to get out safely and you're going to get carry on with your journey.
John, we'll just talk about your guest house, Shane Austin and Carrick. What sort of year did you have last year, albeit short?
Yeah, well, last year was as we say, you know, it was a difficult year in a lot of ways. The summertime come to maybe around the 12th of July to the end of August. A lot of people moved, and you know, and with Sleeve League down there at the minute, it's one of the gems on the Wild Atlantic Way, and it really has taken off. So from that point of view, you would get we had a busy six weeks or so, and because people couldn't go anywhere else, and thankfully in July, you know, the weather was very good as well, so it was good from that point of view. Weather can have an effect on it, because if you have bad weather, people don't tend to stay, and they'll tend to gravitate towards the bigger towns, maybe where there's more things to do. But in general, I was very happy to get those 5 or 6 weeks, because at the time I was looking at a year maybe that there was going to be nothing, and it was and everything went well. You know, a lot of people have to say that visited and everything, they adhered to the restrictions, and you know, the restaurants were open and everything, and it seemed to go very well all summer. Whether that be that the virus itself, and maybe it obviously disappears a bit in the good, in the summer weather, and I think maybe that's part of it, and hopefully that's what I'll be looking forward to this year with the vaccine and everything coming in now, and with the good weather when the days get long, and it'll go back, the virus will go back the way, you know.
What sort of capacity have you got at the guest house, and how long have you got that business, John?
Well, I have it now, this is probably my third season. I'm going to be third season on it, and it's a big building, because it has two two-bedroom apartments. It has 2 one-bedroom apartments, and it has a number of rooms of different variations, but it's all under the one roof. So it's a big, and there's also, I've leased out as well, there's an Indian restaurant there as well. So, and that's all in the one complex. So it's a pretty big building.
You're hoping for obviously a better and a longer season this year when it does, things do open up, hopefully.
Yeah, you do. I mean, you probably look at it at the minute as we talk, and we're saying it's no better than last year at the minute. But I feel with myself, with the vaccine goes ahead and keeps every week we get through things, that it'll become less and less, and hopefully by June this year that we'll see a different point of view of things than from what they are at right now.
Okay, John, you're well known in political circles. Nominated for the Senate in 2014, contested the local elections that year, and in 2019 narrowly missed out, coming 7th in a 6-seater at a long count. I think it was 14 counts and polled nearly 1,000 votes, first preference votes. Mm. How disappointing was it maybe not to get across the line, John?
It was very disappointing. Naturally, when you go for something like that, no matter who you are, you're going for that and you want to get elected, so that becomes the race and that becomes the challenge, and I put in a lot of work into it, and you try your best, but sometimes you just have to take it on the chin and say, look, it wasn't for you and it didn't happen. And I always said in my first few weeks afterwards I would have been down about it, but I think everybody needs to do that to move on, and after 2 or 3 weeks I said, that's enough of that. Yeah. It's time to move on.
Will you contest a third time, John?
Well, you never know what can happen in any given year or any given week. Sometimes opportunities come your way, and sometimes you decide to take them, sometimes you decide not to go for them. And for me, it was my area in Southwest Donegal. I felt where I'm from, you know, that the representation there was vital and for our area, and that's what I was looking for, because I felt with everything that's there, I would always consider we live in a beautiful area and it's nice, but we'd had a lot of depopulation over the last maybe 20 years or so, and you know, I mean, our schools and Kilkear, Kerry, Glen area would be on the wane in terms of numbers and that, and you would see that through the football and everything, and you've always looking to try and see if there's something you can do to change those things and get people back in the area, and that's probably one of the reasons I was looking at and saying, you know, that what if you had somebody that could represent you there and see the needs of the people that you could bring things to the area that would allow people to come back home and come back to live and one thing that I would have seen was that they you take even in terms of social housing, you know, that there's a tendency now at the minute that to gravitate those social houses to Killybegs and the big towns like Donegal Town. So even if you have a person from Kilkear area or that's on that social housing list now, well, they're not going to get a social house in Kilkear, and if they get the chance to get to Killybegs, well, they're gone and they're not coming back because their house is in Killybegs, and they're not going to be building social houses in Kilkear because of the strategy they have in place at the minute. And I think those things, I don't believe that's a right strategy. I believe that's wrong, and it's detrimental to the local villages and areas of all Donegal and all rural areas.
Social housing apart, are there any other issues that you think that are need a lot of work or need immediate work?
Well, one thing that you would say there too, probably at the minute, that I've noticed is housing is actually a problem from the point of view that the cost of it, because you would have when you're on the Wild Atlantic Way, there's a double-edged sword that a property would be actually up in price with interest in it. And it's harder for young couples maybe that might consider moving back to move back if they don't have the property or the availability of them there to move back. On the one plus side, I would say, in terms of the COVID, was that people being able to work from home. And I know a friend of mine that's actually happened. He was actually in Letterkenny and he was actually moving. He was actually moving abroad, but the whole COVID thing came in, and him and the wife at the minute are living in Kilkear, and they're working from home in Kilkear, and you know, and their kids have gone to school in Kilkear. Now that all transpired maybe through the COVID, but it just shows what can be done. And now he's actually thinking of maybe living in Kilkear and staying there. And I think things like that. Obviously your broadband and those general things, to have those right for people to move into is key.
You mentioned football, John, and we can't finish the interview without alluding to it. You're back in charge a second time with Kilkear, having had a spell with St Noel's and also the Donegal Masters. You were frustrated that the county championship didn't finish. You're managing Kilkear, who were due to play Glenties in the final. How do you see it now?
The way I see it now is I think that it'll be played probably when everything opens up. So you're really looking at probably the first big game of the year. I think myself will probably be after when the county, maybe the All-Ireland series over, as the All-Ireland series on first this year, possibly whenever the county exit, whether that's the All-Ireland final or All-Ireland semi-final, you're probably looking three weeks or 4 weeks after that, I would say. That's my own opinion at the minute, just with the numbers that are currently there. And with Easter early this year, I can't see anything like that at the moment, and I think it'll be later in the year when we get to play it.
John, you're managing two businesses. How challenging is it to have the added responsibility of managing a team like Kilkear?
Well, obviously there's a challenge in it. There's a challenge in no matter what team you manage. Anybody will tell you that, because there's a certain amount of time and training and effort. Should that be your under-10s, right up, it's what you want to put into it. But I like to think that I find the time for that, because I just love the challenge of the senior management and obviously to bring the success to Kilkear. And if, you know, you have to look that when you're taking that job, you have to take that seriously and you have to give it that time.
So finally, what does 21 hold for John McNulty at his May store and at his Shane Austin guesthouse in Kerry?
Well, I would like to think that with the vaccine rollout now and every week that goes by, that over a period of time, and hopefully maybe when we get another 4 or 5 months into the season, that things will improve dramatically, and that the footfall and everything will increase again, and people will come out and people be glad to get off with me. Shane Austin probably be glad to get to a place like Carrick and down to see the cliffs, and hopefully we'll have good weather, and that I could have a busy season. With the shop, obviously, is just always trying to see what you can sell in it, and obviously that the deli and that, and that you get your schools back and that you get your footfall back and your business will come back to normal.
John McNulty, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
And there, we'll take a break.
Would you like to lead your team effectively? Donegal ETB's Diploma in Leadership and Management assists leading through change. Contact Enterprise Engagement at Donegal ETB or call 912 0500.
Last month, Letterkenny-based photographer Clive Wasson was elected as the new director of Donegal Business Network for 2021. Clive has been taking photographs for over 30 years and is enjoying the rotating role within the Donegal Business Network, which he joined when it was established 8 years ago.
I was elected as the director of the Donegal Business Network. It's a rotating post within the network, and I've been in the network since 2013. And to be honest, business is quieter at the minute, and I thought, well, if I can do something to help the network, I would take on the role as director for this start of 2021.
Explain how the network works, Clive.
The network is basically, it's... We meet together either, we used to physically meet in the Radisson Hotel. We have a very structured setup, so we would have met 6:45, tea, coffee. Everybody would have a chance to catch up with everybody. If we had a visitor in, the visitor would have been introduced to the people in the network sort of thing. Then the network meeting itself starts at 7:00. It's structured and there's an agenda all the time, so we always have a sort of an opening discussion. We would have a bit of an introduction, and then we would have a member's 60 seconds member's presentation, and that's where every member in the network gets the opportunity to stand up and tell them what they're doing. If there's someone they would like to speak to, or if somebody can give them an introduction to somebody, if they're looking to do business with them. So, like I say, after that then, we would normally have maybe an education slot where people would be maybe learn about how to make the best use of Facebook. There would be different sort of education topics that would be relevant to business. It could be Gary Clark. There'll be one coming up with him shortly on negotiation skills. Gary's a solicitor in the network. We're having an open network meeting, a lunch and learn. Actually, it's open to anybody to come along later on, probably about mid-March. It's Conal Dunn. Conal Dunn's an accountant, but he's also started Easy Customs, and he's going to give a lunch and learn on how to navigate Brexit and customs forms and the customs clearance and stuff like that would be needed. So after that, they would be then maybe would break out and everybody would have a one-to-one meeting with somebody in the network for 10 minutes. Then we would have a closing event, and that would be sort of we would just close the meeting. If there's any other business and that would be discussed, and that's what we'd do. The goal of the network really is to help members increase their business through really a structured way and a positive word of mouth. And it's all word of mouth referrals. We get to know, like, and trust everybody in the network. We're happy to refer each other, and that's the way it works. The network, anybody's welcome to attend. If you know a network member, if you fill in the form on the website, we'll get an invitation to the event. Either to the events, or we'll get an invitation sent out to join on a morning. Now at the moment we're doing Zoom calls. The setup's very much the same, but like I said, unfortunately it's just over Zoom and we don't get to physically meet in a room at the moment.
How important is the art of networking for business at the moment?
Well, I count it very important. My business, I really don't advertise for business, and all my business is word of mouth. And for people in the network, we have a large range of businesses in the network, and you know, it's very hard to get your message across. I would say about the network, we sort of look after everything from booking a holiday to making a will. And I'll just give you a list of maybe the network members so as you get an idea what I mean. We have Susan Stevenson, traveller counsellor. She'll make your individually tailored holidays for yourself. Gary Clark, Lanigan Clark solicitors, so that's anything from your will to your property transfer. They're there to do that. And then if you're thinking on the property side of things, from buying, building, renovating, we have EBS, Alison Higgerty, and from the finance side of things, Bill Steele, Cullen and Steele Architects. We have Bert Galbraith, Galbraith Construction. And then on the sort of, if you're selling or maybe renting property, or if you own property, we have Dean Spencer, BER Donegal. So properties need a BER certificate now if they've been rented or sold. So he's available to do that. And then we have Eamon Russell from Glenard Plantire. So that gets everything from property maintenance, drain cleaning to property cleaning. You know, he does a range of stuff. And then sort of if you think on a security side of things, sort of from health and well-being, we have Heather Peoples and Minding Me. So she can look after your mental health and your physical well-being there. And then we have Gary Dorian from CEA Security. So he does security systems and alarms and stuff like that. And then from the business side of things, that there's support for business in the sense we have ITIS Secure Technologies and Claire Ryan, based in the CoLab. William Keogh, Pinnacle Office Furniture. So again, we can look after your computers and your office furniture. Then we have Connell Dunn, who's the accountant and again doing the customs clearance forms. Michael McGinty, Mean IT, web design and very good at giving you advice on what you need for your website. And then if you think on the workwear and your business image, Logos to Go, Charles Gallagher, will do everything from your branded face mask to your branded clothing. Ruth Graham's an illustrator and does full animation, so you can have a cartoon maybe playing on your website that would attract people maybe more than looking at yourself at times. And then you have myself, Clive Watson Photography, so photographs, 360 tours, video, and a range of stuff along the visual side of things as well.
So you have a mixed bag in there, Clive?
There's a real mixed bag there, so there is. Definitely is, you know.
A good camaraderie and a good sense of being together at the moment?
Very good sense of being together, so it is. Like I say, we're sort of constantly keeping an eye out for maybe the next referral that we can pass on to somebody else in the network, you know. And referrals like might be just somebody saying, give Clive a ring and he'll print that photograph for you, which could be a 20-euro job, to somebody saying, well, you know, if you need somebody to design your house and build your house, there's the people that can do that, you know. So there's a vast scale.
So it's the importance of word of mouth yet, isn't it?
It very much is important to word of mouth. And like I say, as people all know people, and they're happy to work with people that are recommended by somebody else. And that's really the core of the network is I'm happy to recommend somebody to do the work. And if you know me and take my recommendation, you know, you're not recommending somebody that you think's not going to do the job properly.
And any new members on their reason?
We've had a few visitors in over the last couple of weeks. Visitors are very welcome. Like I said earlier, the only thing they need to do is just make contact with either a member through the website and we'll get the visitor, we'll send them a link to the Zoom meeting. And we've had a few in, and I know a couple of them are talking about membership.
You're a sole trader, Clive, and you've been a sole trader for quite a long time. Clive Watson Photography, you've been known with that brand for 30 plus years, but that wasn't where you first started out in your sole trading world?
No, it's not where I started out in my sole trading world. Long story short, left school 16, leaving cert, went to work in Donegal Creameries, left Donegal Creameries. Spent a few years on the road with somebody and then ended up back at the milk again with a milk run. So I was doing door-to-door deliveries with milk. If people would know me, know I don't like early mornings. So that was never going to be a runner, really. So it is. So I decided that if I could sell the milk run, I would give the photography a full-time push. And that was around 1998. And it's been full-time photography since then. But I've been at it a long time, as you know.
How far back does your interest in photography go, Clive?
I really, when I was at school, I sort of took a photography class sort of after school with one of the teachers sort of thing, and that done a wee bit of photography, done a bit of printing and development, and sort of my interest has been right back as far as my school days, you know, so it is. And like you know yourself, I sort of started initially working with the Donegal People's Press, and that's a long time ago now for the two of us. But like I say, it sort of progressed from there. So the first event I'd done for the People's Press was the Donegal International Rally. And as I said, what really got me into photography was I kept buying better cameras to get better photographs of rally cars.
And cameras weren't cheap that time, Clive.
They're never cheap.
But even back then, they were quite expensive.
They're quite expensive, so it is. I would always try and get sort of the best technology available to do the job that I need to do, you know. But back then, it was dark rooms and film and printing. So it was a real... You sort of took the photographs, you developed the negatives, you printed your photographs, and then you rushed into the People's Press to get them into the People's Press to get on a bus to Sligo to get used for the paper that week, you know, so it is. So your deadline, I think, was about 4 o'clock on a Monday sort of thing, and everything had to be in by then. So I was printing about 90 black and white prints a day at that stage, you know.
And how long would it take to physically and manually process up to 90 individual pictures, Clive?
It really took a good full day. I really probably would have started on Sunday night sort of thing, printing stuff, and got most of the day at Monday at it to have it ready for Monday afternoon, you know, so it is.
Comparing the digital way to the old way, was there something unique about seeing a photograph come to light in the water?
There always was. There always was. And the digital way sort of left you that it just magically appears now in the back of the camera. And like I say, I went through the process there where you would have took the photograph and left it to a bus to get in, whereas now I take a photograph. The camera's connected to the phone. I take the photograph off the camera with the phone and can email it anywhere in the world from that, you know, so it is.
Can you remember the first digital image that you took?
I can't remember the first digital image that I took, but it was more than likely a job for the like of the People's Press. It would have been something like a meeting in Letterkenny. It may have been some of those sort of events sort of thing, because initially the digital cameras weren't really good enough to do sport or anything like that, but they were perfectly fine for doing those sort of grip and grin sort of thing, check presentations, small groups together and stuff like that, you know.
Any idea how many photographs you've taken over the years?
How many photographs I've taken over the years, I could not say. There's boxes of negatives in the attic that I just about know the dates they were taken, what's in them at this stage. I have an idea, but I don't know. But I can tell you on an average year, the folder on the desktop has 100,000 photographs in it, you know. So it is. So that's from all the events during the year, there'll be about 100,000 photographs in it.
How has COVID-19 impacted on your business, Clive?
My business, if you take my business, been mainly events and people. COVID-19 has had a real serious impact on the business. But alternatively, I've sort of always try and innovate and try and do something new. So I've sort of started doing 360 virtual tours. I've done one recently for the CoLab, which is on their website, and I'm working on sort of one of the local tourist attractions as well to do one for that. So that gives you a real sort of step through tour of the buildings. You can sort of stop and look around and you see everything in detail around you as if you were standing in the room, you know.
What prompted the move into video?
Video is something the cameras always had the capability to do. More and more people were looking for video. If you look at websites and the like of the Facebooks and the popular sites, video gets better traction with them. I would have had a 2 years ago, I would have done sort of a quick fly round of the drone of a bit of video of ingreening Avalia. 45 seconds of video got 330,000 views sort of thing. So I suppose the one thing I learned during the lockdown was upgraded my video skills, which leaves me now in a position that I can do video for people if they need it, you know.
That's a lot of traction for a relatively short film, wasn't it?
I was really surprised with it. You know, if I put up another event, like I say, you know, sometimes I would have prom events and stuff like that, or tractor run events, and many events that I would do up on Facebook, and I'd be doing really well to get 12,000 of a reach, you know, so that gives you an idea what the video can do when you have the right bit of content, you know.
And is shorter the better, or is there a magic time in terms of how long it should be or short?
From my point of view, I think you lose people after a couple of minutes. Do you know what I mean? So if you have a nice, quick, concise message, from my point of view, it works better, you know.
What's the one standout change that you've noticed or taken on board over the last 30 years, Clive, in the game?
I suppose the one standout change that I would see moving from, if you want, film to the like a digital, is there's no limit in the amount of photographs you can take. Do you know what I mean? We end up doing a lot more photographs. I would have had, back to the People's Press days, they didn't want you using more than two rolls of film a week sort of thing. So that was, 72 photographs. Now you would easily come away from an event with anything sort of up to 300 photographs. Do you know what I mean? some of the bigger events I would have done, like the Rockton to Gaelica, and that one was in Letterkenny, and it was long days, multiple events. You would have had 4,000 photographs done at the end of the day, you know. So that's a big change sort of thing. You spend a lot more time in front of the computer. You spend as much time now in front of the computer editing as you did before in a darkroom printing photographs.
The job of a photographer, it takes in the good and the bad, Clive. Is there one photograph that that still stays very clear above any other?
Not really, Kieran. I've done such a range of stuff that it sort of changes all the time. Do you know what I mean? Even from sort of a sports photograph you might have had years ago to a photograph on an event you had now, or to even the sunset on a good evening. Do you know, it just... with me, it changes all the time. There's no standout photographs. It's just what you like on the day, sort of thing. That's for me. It changes all the time. You know, the walls of my house don't actually have as many photographs as you might think on it. It's landmarks like Fallet Lighthouse and stuff like that, you can't miss, or Sleeve League, you know, or equally the Pole Star out there. You know, a few nighttime photographs of the Pole Star that I'm really, really happy with. You know.
And finally, what does 2021 hold for Clive Watson as director of Donegal Business Network and Clive Watson Photography?
As a director of Donegal Business Network, I'd really like to encourage people to come along and meet with us. There's no obligation to become a member. There's no need to worry that somebody's going to be badgering you about joining. We just want to bring people into the room, see if we can help them, if they can help us, and work along those lines. I have to commend the network as a really good method of even just being around positive people. And once a week, we're in a room, people are looking for business, people are talking positively about their business, and people are doing business. And that's where we need to be at this time, you know.
And your own business, Clive?
My own business? I'm going to just keep on pushing, keep on innovating. 360 virtual tours can do anything from sort of real estate to event and building guides, you know, so it is. The video, I'm doing a lot more on video now for different commercial companies, and the bit of video, you can add a wee bit of new video content to your website and sort of bring it to life, you know.
Clive Watson, director of Donegal Business Network and owner of Clive Watson Photography, thanks for joining us on Business Matters.
Thank you, Kieran.
That's it for another edition of Business Matters. I'd like to thank my guests, John McNulty and Clive Watson. Thanks to Kenneth Wilson on sound, and thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, drop an email to businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Business Matters, in association with Donegal ETB's Further Education and Training Service, developing the Donegal workforce across engineering, manufacturing, retail, services, technology, and the agricultural sectors.